will go for us. So, Father, we thank you for your spirit here today. We thank you for those gathered. And, Lord, we just ask that you would take this time and do with it how you see fit, Lord, for our training and our instruction, and most of all, God, for your glory. And so we welcome you during this time. In Jesus' name, have your way. Amen. Amen. So we're gonna be embarking on a few weeks of talking about hearing God's voice, okay? And we're going to do it probably a little different. I'm not going to just teach on hearing God's voice because that just gives information. But we're going to do a little bit of interactive, if you will, communication. So for some of you, this will be normal stuff that we would do. For others of you, it might be a little weird to go, okay, we're going to be a kind of interactive during a sermon, because I'm not really going to preach a sermon per se today, but I am going to share a couple scriptures, and I'm going to give a little background. For these last few weeks, as I've prayed into, God, what I feel like you want me to specifically do something different about helping people hear and know what God's voice sounds like. And probably one of the first things that happened is when I realized we were talking about moving and getting a new facility, how many different opinions come out of the woodwork. And when you ask them, have you prayed about it? Some say yes, and some say no, and some says, I don't know what God is saying. But it's amazing how a group of people who love Jesus, and I'm not saying this negatively, I'm just saying it's an observation. We can be all over the board about what we think God is saying, okay? Come on, you know what I'm saying. It's like, now, if you're in the religious system, which we are adamantly opposed to, it's a whole nother thing, because it's, we got a leader and whatever he says, we'll just follow that, okay? Now, that might have worked if we were in battle and we need a sergeant to direct the troops because our lives were at stake, but we're not right now. There are sergeants, there are generals, but we're a body, and every joint supplies in order to determine how God is moving us. And so, you know, part of what I found in over this system, and if you said some of these things that I'm going to say, please don't be offended, but I've had people come to me and say, whatever you say, we'll do. And I'm like, no, that's not a good idea, because I'm not that smart to always say things right, okay? Whatever God says, we'll do. How about that one, okay? I did have people say it to me, and I appreciate it, but it's like, no, that's too easy. Hear God's voice so you can agree with what he's saying and put your part in. That's a little bit more requiring of responsibility and for us to hear. And I want to determine that we're not just, when we say, I want to hear God's voice, it's not, I want to feel God's presence. That's different. I want to see God in nature. That's different. See, because we can confuse feeling God, and we can confuse seeing God, and all of that we can turn into, well, God said. No, because you felt God's presence doesn't mean you heard his voice. It's two different things. His presence is his presence. His voice is his voice. Huh? The witness of God in creation is just that, the testimony of his greatness. But again, it does speak, but it doesn't speak to some of the specifics that we're asking him to speak to. See, and as we've prayed into this in this season, some folks tell me I can't hear God's voice, and my first thought is, well, you're under the influence of a lie, because you are equipped to hear his voice if you are a child of God. Every child of God has his spirit on the inside enabling us. You were made to hear God's voice. This is not just a casual possibility that you could be equipped with it if you, you know, got the add-on equipment, you know, the extra accessory package. No, no. The accessory package when you got saved is equipment absolutely allowing you to hear God's voice. Okay, but yet, why is it that we still have such a hard time hearing his voice? Now, anybody who says, I've never had a hard time hearing God's voice, I'm just saying, you're hearing voices all right, okay? Because it isn't as simple all the time And one of the things that I've noticed in this season of looking into it is that children can be some of the indicators of hearing God's voice. Why? Because they're not full of all the doubt and experience and fears. Okay? Now, as we started into this, I approached a few people. Some of them are going to be sharing today. I went to Dan as one person. I said, hey, man, I've got this thing going on. I think maybe we're going to do a series on hearing God's voice. He goes, well, I just dropped two CDs on your desk about hearing the voice of God from Bill Johnson. I'm like, oh, that's pretty good. I like that. What is that? Well, to me, that's, I think I'm hearing God's voice because other people are stirring up about it. Then I run into Chris somewhere. Oh, I think it might have been at the funeral, actually. And Chris says to me, man, God is really speaking to several people all over. I'm hearing about getting to know his voice. I mean, he is? And he said, yeah, that's really been something on me. And he goes, I just went to a conference, and that's all they were talking about. And it was really foreign to that group of people to be talking about hearing God's voice. The reason why I say bring that up is because in a lot of places, in a lot of religious circles, hearing God's voice is something that is taboo. Now, I know all you Pentecostals don't understand all that, why that would be. But the Methodists in the house know what I'm talking about. Okay, because, and the Baptists, and I say it because they tell you, you got to be careful. You hear God's voice this way by reading the Bible. And I don't want to doubt, I don't want to say anything right now at all about reading the Bible. But that's, by golly, the way, the only way. And it's like, unfortunately, it's not the only way. It is the foundational way by we know how God speaks and what God does. But God doesn't, there's nothing in the Bible about whether, what job you should take. Okay, there's nothing in the Bible about who you should marry. Now, when I say it specifically, not generally speaking, there are times where the Bible lays for us the foundation, but ultimately, it's our responsibility to hear the specific detail about this situation, right? Okay, and so to tell people, and that's what some groups and denominations do, that hearing God's voice, that's just too spooky and weird. No. Jesus said some things, and I want to cover those things just real quickly. Now, the third thing that happened, by the way, after I thought we were to hear God's voice, is then I get this random, I'm on Elijah list and stuff from different people like Chuck Pierce and different ones shows up, and they're pretty well, if you're in our stream a little bit, most of you know who Chuck Pierce is. If you don't, he's known as a prophet. He's been here in Springfield before several years ago, and he's done some pretty amazing prophetic, and he prophesied a year before Hurricane Katrina that it was coming, specifically where and when, a year to the day exactly. So I mean, that's some pretty good street cred, if you will, right? And so then I get this random just message right as I'm in this point of going, should I really go this direction? And this is the I made it big so you can see it, but it says, the Spirit of God is speaking, there's a harvest ahead, come and hear what the Spirit of God is saying to the church concerning harvest. Now, I didn't plan this at all, but on Pentecost, today, this is the Pentecost Sunday, he says, Pentecost is a trifold celebration, thanking God for his blessings through the harvest, the word, or the giving of the Torah on Mount Sinai, and the Holy Spirit, the outpouring of his power in Acts. And that just so happened to be what we're starting to talk about today, the voice of the Lord, how to hear him on Pentecost. So I God's got my attention. Hopefully, he's getting yours. Probably foundational, everybody has heard this, but there's a story in Deuteronomy, and it's probably one of the pillars of our existence, and it's found in Deuteronomy 8. It's one of those things that a lot of our life, it's an anchor point that a lot of our life has to revolve around, and it's the scripture that Jesus also used when confronted by Satan and tempted in the desert. And it's where he says, man shall not live. God is talking about how he had provided food for them in the desert to teach them something. And the teaching something was that man will not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Okay? And that's a broad stroke, but it is also specific to understanding for us to be successful, and I don't want to give a small definition of successful, but successful in the way that Jesus defines success, then hearing God's voice is an absolute must. An absolute must, not an optional thing. Now, Jesus, when speaking on this, in John 10, five different times refers to his voice being heard. It's kind of amazing because he repeats my voice, my voice, my voice. He says in John 10:3, the sheep hear his voice and he calls them out by name. Okay? Now, and I mean this as sincere as I can. Have you heard Jesus speak your name? You don't have to answer that. But he does. He does speak your name, and he wants you to hear him speak your name to you. He calls them out by name. That's just saying he has intimate knowledge of who you are. And when you actually hit the revelation of him speaking your name to you, it will draw you out away from the mundane and into the miraculous. He goes on to say, in verse 4, my sheep follow, they're talking about himself as a shepherd. He says, my sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And then he says in verse 16, there's other sheep who will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd, talking about Jew and Gentile becoming one man, because they've heard the same voice of the shepherd. And in verse 27, he says, my sheep know my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And, you know, it's just so, he didn't say they don't know my presence. He didn't say they know my word. He didn't say they know my culture. He didn't say they know my religion. He said they know my voice. And I won't diminish, obviously, you don't want to think I would be diminishing the value of the word of God, because it's one of the primary ways he speaks to us. But just because I'm reading the Bible doesn't necessarily guarantee I'm hearing the voice. See, that's a little, there's a cow and it's sacred, you're fixing to shoot it here, I know, you're right, I probably am. Because we want to substitute reading our Bible for hearing his voice sometimes. It's why? Because it's safe. I love the way Bill Johnson describes how he goes, I just go, he usually talks about in the Psalms, but he says, I'll start reading the Bible, and he says, I'll just keep reading Psalms until that one starts speaking. And then I know, okay, now I'm hearing God's voice. There's a shift, and many times it actually takes some concentrated effort. You know, you can't be just casual like I'm reading a novel. You actually get yourself, you know, me, I got my nice little cup of coffee and my chair and, you know, the ambiance. Why? It's not about the location, but it is about the lack of distraction. And then I'm actually in that place where I go, wow, I read that, and then we make that comment. I read that thing 100 times, but today, it stuck out. Why? Because God was breathing on it. He was speaking it to your heart today. Now, one of the statements that probably gave me a whammy as I've been looking at this over the last few weeks is when Jesus was communicating with Pontius Pilate. And Pontius was in such a, you know, he was in a bad way. I mean, you know, there was no way out for him. His wife comes to him and tells him, that guy is innocent. I had a dream. And you better really back off of entering into all this hype and this murderous activity. And he's like, ah, these people are wanting me to kill him. And so he starts talking to Jesus about what is truth. Remember that? Where he goes, truth. He goes, I am the way, the truth. He goes, what is truth? And Jesus said, everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Wow. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Now, my point, I don't have it. That's deep and profound enough that I don't have it even go there in the place of trying to unpack that right now. But it's challenging. It may be even a little, because especially in this day and age, where truth is so subjective and it's on this up and down scale. You know, and when we look at something that God calls sin, and the culture calls it freedom, or choice, or whatever, and we go, no, there's an absolute truth, and I can hear His voice, and He's still saying that's sin. And it doesn't matter whether it's accepted by everybody, it's not accepted by Him. Now, it's loved, you know, it doesn't matter what it is, it's, you know, we could, whatever the flavor of the day is to try to assault, but we understand it's going to be going on because Psalm 2 tells us, it's a prophetic, it's an eschatological song about the end times, and it basically says, the kings of the earth are raging, and they are saying, let us cast off the bound, these fetters that's saying, basically, we know better than God, and we don't want His boundaries on our life because they're chains and shackles. They're not really boundaries for our safety. And God's response is, and He who sits in heaven laughs. Okay? He's like, I've already set my king on His holy hill, and you would be wise to bow down and kiss the Son. And I still can't say that without it just shooting goosebumps down my back, because I believe it's the message of the hour is bow down and kiss the Son. That's going to be what we learn to do in the days ahead. So the question as in this season is, what is God saying? And, you know, I think oftentimes we have to look at God's perspective. Psalm or Proverbs 25 is probably one of the ones that I go to, but it says it's the glory of God to conceal a matter, but the glory of kings to search it out. Okay. And it's not like God is mean and saying, I'm hiding something because I don't want you to find it. He's saying, I'm hiding something for you to find. Exactly. And if you'll draw near to me, I will lead you to where it is. And it's not going to be stumbled upon accidentally. It's the glory of God to conceal a matter, and it's the glory of kings to search it out. Well, who's a king? Come on. Well, Jesus is a king. Okay. He's one. You may not think you are one, but guess what? He's in you, so you're qualified. To search out matters that God has concealed for His glory. In other words, to learn how to hear His voice so you can follow it. Right? So over the next few weeks, we're going to interactively open this up a little bit. I'm going to do that right now. Kevin, are you still here? You are? Okay. I'm sorry to wake you, man. If you need to go back, no? Okay. All right. I'm just kidding. I asked Kevin and Colleen today, I said, I want you to come and share some insights for you, how you've learned or how you've positioned yourself. And I said, maybe we'll have some questions when we're done. I'm not sure. But regardless of which, Kevin is a trusted man of God. He's been laboring in this city for really in the trenches for 10 years it's rewarding from the Lord, but from an earthly standpoint, there's not been a lot of earthly rewards, not really. But every time I'm around him, he inspires me and he challenges me. So I said, God, let's see what Kevin has for us in this topic. So here you go, man.
Well, thank you. A couple of things that I've realized over the years of how to hear the Lord's voice is just to try to position yourself to hear, because a lot of times we're so used to our own heads and our own five senses discerning the world. Like, you know, I can know what this is by touching it. I can see it. You know, if I can smell it if I want to, whatever. I probably don't want to. But the things of God aren't like that. I mean, because God's a spirit. God's not made out of stuff. You know, He's not made out of matter, He's made out of spirit. So to hear God's voice, we have to get down to where He is in us. But He lives in us, and so that's the good news. He's not too far away, you know. In a Western thinking, we kind of think, oh, God's way out in outer space somewhere, because it comes from Plato and Aristotle and all these other guys. And He's not. You know, He's right here. You know, He's present with us. He's Emmanuel, God with us, you know. So finding out how to turn our hearts to Him is a real key to hearing God's voice. Because usually our inward self is going, you know, it's focused on this or whatever circumstance is going on, or it's the head's swimming and, you know, we're worried and scared or whatever it is. But when we calm down and turn to Him inwardly, we find that He's looking at us the whole time. You know, He's not like, oh, Kevin's coming. I don't want to talk to this guy today. You know, what's this? You know, He's not like that. You know, he's always looking at us with love. You know, one time I was at work, and my job's sort of a kind of job where you can just talk to the Lord, because it's, you know, it's chill, you know. And I was just praying, trying to find the Lord, and you know, sometimes you just kind of get those feelings of, man, the Lord doesn't want to talk to me. I don't know what this is all about. I think I'm an awful person, or whatever it is we struggle with. And the Lord was saying, no, I have a burning deep love for you, you know. And I saw this like white hot fire in my heart, you know. But in those moments, we see His heart, and it changes ours, you know, because we reflect what we see, you know. So when we can get down there and dismiss all those things we used to believe, all these untruths about God, it'll open up our gates to experience God and encounter God. And so that's how we kind of hear. That's the beginning of hearing. And from a practical scriptural standpoint, it'd be a Colossians 3, you know, set your mind on things above. And that's just not talking about outer space. It's talking about set your mind or inner heart on Him. And I found that those things really help open up that inner world of God. Because we're so fixated on what we see and what we know, and we can't hear God like we can hear a person talk to us. There's an impression, there's like a stream almost inside of us, so if we step into it, we can hear what the Spirit's saying. But we have to get into that. And that comes by faith. And it comes by believing that the Lord wants to talk to us, because a lot of times we don't think He wants to talk to us. So I found those things to be really practical and really good. And it takes a while. You know, sometimes you have to sit there for a while and get into that place to turn your heart. And it takes effort, and it takes discipline, and you have to set time during the day to do that. And it helps to almost keep watch throughout the day. If you pray, if you seek the Lord in the morning, and if you seek the Lord again in the noon, or if you seek Him in the evening, whatever it is, but keep that cycle of being in His presence all the time will open you to hear. And it takes a lot of work, and it takes a lot of God maturing us and breaking off those old things we used to want to do all day, you know, but He's always wanting to be with us all day. And Brother Lawrence, who wrote The Practice of the Presence of God, he was able to be in that place all day. He used to watch Pots and Pans all day, but he would be in God's presence all day. And it wasn't hard for him, but it took him years and years to get there. So if you've had a hard time getting there, it's okay, because you're human like me. You know, it's all right. Yeah. So I guess that's a practical, I think that's really all I got, you know. If there's any questions or anything, but I don't know.
That is good. And we'll let Colleen just come now, and then we'll just save comments and questions and see if anybody wants to weigh in or add to it.
Ditto. Yeah. Everything Kevin said, which was really good. I talked to Scott earlier in the week, and I just jotted down some things, and I started thinking about way back, but I was really even going farther back to when I was first saved as a girl, as a little girl. I was probably 11 or 12. I don't even know how old I was, but I knew I had an experience with Jesus at the altar and encountered a power greater than myself. And I just knew. I knew inside that I could speak to Him and that He would talk to me and we'd have a conversation. And I'd just walk down the little black top from my house to the cemetery and sit on the little bridge there and talk to Jesus. It was just, nobody told me you can do this or you can't do this. Nobody really told me about the Holy Spirit, however, who was very active. So it was many years later that I came to know God in a more powerful way of knowing Him. But even before that, just being a part of a church, loving Jesus, and God spoke to me a couple of times really clearly. I heard His voice, and so I want to just share that real quick because it was just out of the blue, just, you know, and I hadn't really heard Him ever like that before. But I was going to go for a job interview, and I was talking myself out of it. You're not qualified. Everybody else has more qualifications than you do, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I heard the Lord say to me, if I give you the job, I'll equip you to do it. Wow. He didn't say, I'll give you the job. He just said, I'll equip you. Well, that was all I really needed. I was like, okay, I'm in. So worst job interview ever, terrified with the vice president who had really hired me. But it was like he was like, I was under a microscope. I could not wait to get out of that room. And I thought, this is the worst thing ever. And I got the job. which really was a marked, it set me on a journey that I can look back now and see how God progressed every step into something else that he planned for me to do. And that if I hadn't taken that job, I would never have ended up in the places I am in ministry today. Or even being in front of you right now, I'd be terrified. So God is sovereign, and he has this destination. And even yet, I'm not at that place. So I'm going to continue to hear God's voice in many different ways. And I want to talk about that because of how many different ways, as I was sitting here, and Kevin was or Scott was talking, I guess I heard the Lord say, the reason that you get answers and you hear me is because you ask me questions and you expect me to answer.
That's so good.
I was like, well, that is correct. I so many times I'm just sitting in my prayer chair and I have a question. I'm not really praying. I just have a question. And it'll be in my mind. It's in my thoughts. And I'll go to the restroom or something, grab my devotional, which is where I read my devotional. He really gets my attention there. And I know, too much information, but it works. And so I, right there in the devotion of the day is the answer to the question that I just asked him. And I'm always like so amazed that he can use the TV newscaster. He uses the clock. When I look up and it's 555, I say, grace, grace, grace. 333, it's the Trinity. I mean, it's just like he's always speaking to me in some form or fashion, and it doesn't have to be in a religious mode or setting at all. It's just, he's just always there. So I feel very fortunate to have been in the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, which touched me in a way that I wanted more. And I think that's something that we're hearing today, is that people are wanting more again. God is stirring us to be hungry again, to hear him and to go after him. And all it takes is one little drop of the water of his river to get us started to be thirsty and to pursue him. And so, but back then, that was like 1995 or four, and I started something that was like, that started out with 10 or 15 minutes in the morning before I went to work. That was, or when I came home, I began to take an hour in between dinner and maybe a television show or something, and I would say to Hank, I'm going into the other room to have quiet time. And because that's a practice, it's there every day. And I don't always connect in a great way. There's not some great powerful thing that happens every day, but every day I do that. And I was telling Dan and them this morning, and we were talking, I said, because when God does come and you do have this powerful communication with him, or you feel his presence, you feel his great love for you, it makes all those days that you didn't have anything worth it. It's like, yes, I'm so glad I'm here today, God. And almost always when there is a powerful encounter, it's like he's preparing me to give something away. It's that encounter wasn't for me. You know, we expect those great encounters that it's something great for me. It's usually something that he's going to give away through you. Something's going to happen throughout the day that you're giving that away. And I remember a day early on, like we've been talking about, it's over and over and over, and it's years of things that God's doing. But I remember the day that I was standing in my classroom, and the Holy Ghost just showed up on top of me, in me, through me, and I was in my classroom teaching. And I was like, wow, you can just come in here? We're not in our prayer chair right now, God. You know that, don't you? We're in, but it affected all of my relationships then, that he was there and that he was going to, I stopped getting offended in ways that I had been offended by people when they would say something negative or something like that. It was just, it was such a wonderful time. I can't say that I'm always there now, but I'm hungry for that again. I think that is the thing, the key is that we never stop going after him or pursuing him. And let's see if there's anything else, God, you want to say this morning? 20 years later, yeah, I'm still there. I'm still in my prayer chair. And wonderful thing about being retired is that I can spend a whole lot more time there. But also for those who never had that, you might be thinking, well, I haven't had any of that. The surrender that we surrender when we surrender our heart to the Lord is a different surrender every morning, where we're surrendering our whole being, our mind, our soul, our body, our will, our emotions. There are all these different levels of us that need to be surrendered. Does that make sense? That I'm just not like one dimensional, I guess. and let's see. But to linger longer, I guess. You know, sometimes it's just getting everything off of the top, and then I can go back and get another cup of coffee and come back, and I'm in the pocket there with the Lord, and positioned to hear the Lord. And so anyway, I think that is pretty much what I have, other than one little thing that I want to leave with you is an activity that we begin to see ourselves as tiny and small, and Him is so big and so great. And the Lord was just showing me as I was listening for what I was going to say here, was that, you know, I'm just one of those billion pieces of sand on the seashore. And when I begin to see the world and how big it is, and you know, into a, you know, and on, billions and billions of light years away into space, that God still loves this one little grain of sand. And we're just all alike. We're all in the same place on the same seashore. And to think of yourself like that is to be filled with His glory, because the Word says that His glory fills the earth, and that's us. Amen.
Thanks. Now I just, I don't know, if maybe just hang around up front here. Maybe Kev, just come up front, because I don't know if we're going to have any questions or comments. But I just want us to be able to take this moment to say, I want to hear God's voice better. You know, we just don't want to miss a good opportunity. I mean, we hear things like, God loves us deeply, and He wants us to know His love, and you know, God's presence is here, and you know, God's calling us into something. But the reality of it is, most of the time, and is we position ourselves, and Colin hit the nail on the head, to not really expect to hear God talk to us. Because we would rather, and I don't mean to sound this wrong, but we'd rather have a sign. Come on. We'd rather have a dream. We'd rather have a vision. And those are all good. Those are all ways God speaks to people. I'll just say this, though. Dreams aren't always from God, okay? And what we think is a prophetic sign isn't always. Okay, and I believe in them. I've had major issues in my life be released to me through different encounters, visions, dreams, and signs. But the one thing for sure is that Jesus says that you can know my voice so well that you won't follow a stranger's voice. Okay, and so we don't want to ever diminish. I can hear God's voice. And like I said, I think more times than not, we get relit. That's why I didn't even talk about prayer in this, because it's a conversation. Like Brother Lawrence, Kevin, he says, I'm just in a constant conversation with God. It was one, I don't think it was him, but it was one, maybe Andrew Murray, I can't, who said, I never pray for longer than 5 minutes, but I rarely go longer than 5 minutes without praying. Was that Andrew Murray? Said, Spurgeon? Okay, thank you. And that's a whole... I'm in an interactive conversation with God, and I expect, as Colleen said, to hear Him. That was amazing, by the way. That was awesome. You guys both did a great job. So now, what does that mean to you? Do you believe? Is there a question? Is there a comment? Did something stir in you this morning? And I want you to use the microphone, because I want to catch this on tape. If when you start thinking about it. Because sometimes I get convicted and going, I'm supposed to be hearing God, and I really haven't been all that concerned with doing it. Maybe that was you this morning. Or Maybe I would double check to make sure the only way I'm trying to hear God isn't just, God, I need a dream, or God, I need a billboard. They're all good. God can use them. Come on. Anybody got any, that moment? Yes. Yeah. Carlene, come on up here, if you will.
I just wanted to ask Kevin, you know, in the movie Chariots of Fire, Eric Little says that when he runs, he feels the pleasure of God on him. So, and I know a lot about your work, and I think it's really cool. I was just wondering, when you're at work, do you feel God's pleasure on you like Eric Little did?
Yeah. Let me get up. Yeah, sometimes you do. I mean, there's been times at work, if you get into his presence, I mean, you have to go to the bathroom because he's moving you so much, you know? Because it's true. You just got to get away from being in that place because you're breaking down, you know? So, I mean, no, he'll show up when he wants to show up, and he'll show up in his time. I mean, and Colleen's right, every visit from him, which the mystics call the visits, you know? Not the bad mystics, but the good Christian ones. He would visit in a very powerful way sometimes, and you would catch people off, you know? And God's infinite nature, we have to remember that when, like, knowing God is love in our minds, we know that in our minds, you know? We know, yeah, God's love, you know? But then there's that way of when this character, this person shows up to teach us what that means, the depths of what that word means, it extends infinitely, you know? And it'll come inside of our being and swell up, you know, and fill that void. So yeah, you do feel his pleasure, you know? And you learn a lot about his voice, but learn his pleasure, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, Larry.
I had it explained to me kind of this way, that, you know, most of us are familiar with radios. We have them in our car or wherever. And those radio signals are being broadcast. I mean, right here, right now, if I had a receiver or a radio, I could punch into all kinds of different channels, you know. And, you know, when we become a Christian, we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. But a part of that is we receive a receiver. That, you know, God says, you know, things of the Spirit, if you don't have the Spirit, doesn't even make sense to the Spirit. I mean, it doesn't make sense to people without the Spirit. And we understand that from the other side a lot better. But what I'm saying is we were designed, empowered, equipped to hear him. You know, we are his sheep. We're not going to be his sheep. Not that sheep are highly exalted, but we are his sheep. And he is very good at communicating with his sheep. We are the sheep of his pasture, of his flock. And so just like the radio in your car has the design and ability to receive different channels, so do we. And God wants to teach us and grow us to learn how to get on the channel, the wave, the ability to receive, to tune in to what he's saying. Now, there's a lot of voices, and like you said, there's a lot of dreams. There's a lot of even signs and wonders in the end days that are not going to be of God, right? Signs and wonders that are supernatural, but not of God's Spirit, okay? And that we will know his voice. You know, just like, you know, the shepherds back in the day, thousands of years ago, they would put all of their flocks in the same enclosure to be protected overnight because it was dark and they couldn't protect their sheep at night. So they put them in this huge fenced area. But there might be, you know, 5 or 10 shepherds, different sheep in there mixed in. And in the mornings, they just simply, the shepherd would open the door and they would speak and the sheep literally knew their voice and would follow them, okay? And we are the exact same way. There will be many voices, but there will be God's voice that God is inviting and hoping, and he's just designed and equipped us to learn to distinguish and know and hear his voice, even though there will be many voices.
Yeah, go ahead.
Out at the end of John, when they go fishing again, and they're out in the boat, and there's a guy on the shore who's telling them to throw the net on the other side, and they don't know who he is. But John says, it's the Lord. Yeah. How did he recognize him other than his voice?
Yeah. That's good. Remember, John was the one who kept his head on the Lord's breast. Did you raise your hand because you had? Well, come on. That's just awesome. Yeah, I want you to come.
I just want to remember. I was just remembering when I taught. You know, I learned how to have quiet time was many years ago from my wife. You know, just watching her and everything. You know, and I used to have a real stressful job at the local office. You know, and I almost tried to quit a few times, but didn't. But she used to tell me to get up early in the morning, you know, spend time with God, worship, do whatever you do, you know, and things would be better. And so I started doing that. You know, I started getting up in the morning and spending a little time with God and everything. But some days I get to work, and by like 10 o'clock, I'm a mess. You know, it's like all that was just a waste of time. You know, I spent an hour with you this morning, God, and look at me, you know. So when I get home that night, I would just say to my wife, I'd say, Colleen, you know, you tell me to get up and do these things, and nothing's happening, man. I'm still stressed and everything. She says, well, just imagine what would have happened if you didn't take time to be with the Lord this morning, you know. But I still, to this day, and this has been over 10, 15 years, I get up and have quiet time with the Lord every morning, you know. And there's a lot of them mornings that I don't feel like doing it. You know, I just don't feel like in the mood. I'd rather be stressed out or worried about something, you know. But every time I'll grab the word and I'll sit down and turn on some worship music or something, and every time I'm glad I did. You know, right away my heart changes, you know, over to from being the fleshly man to that inner being that I just want to cry and spend time with the Lord and be at his feet, you know. But the adversary doesn't want us to do that. He wants you to get up in the morning and run around, have 5 cups of coffee, you know, kick the dog, yell at the kids, and everything else. That's what he wants you to do. But, you know, it's wonderful. My day is not right unless I spend time with the Lord in the morning. Amen.
Amen. Okay. So just, I'm assuming that we'll probably just continue over the next week or next couple of weeks, just hearing from folks about, you know, somebody, I'm going to probably might say what God's voice didn't sound like. Anybody ever thought they heard God and it didn't? Come on. Yeah, there we go. Yeah, the people of faith raise their hand and go, oh, yeah, you fail your way to success. That's for sure, okay? So anybody who you look up to and they say, man, they really hear God's voice. The reality of it is they didn't always. they go, okay, I know that's not what he sounds like, you know. And sometimes the messes are little, sometimes the messes are big. But it's part of the training process. And that's part of what has to happen in our lives is we're not afraid to risk it. I might look bad, that's right. But it's worth the risk. You know, I might have a mess to clean up. That's right. But it's worth the reward of saying, God is speaking to us, and this is what we think he's saying. And if I were to fail, I wouldn't be failing sitting there doing nothing. I would be failing believing that God can speak to me and believing that we're following him, whatever it may be. And because it's not always go, God's voice doesn't always say go. You know, many people even read that in that scripture where Jesus spoke and said, the harvest is ripe. But he didn't say go. He said pray, therefore, that the Lord of the harvest may send laborers. He didn't say go, no. His voice said pray, therefore. We hear go, therefore, why? Because that is the way the natural man, if it's going to get done, by golly, I'm going to do her. No, wait, and he'll tell you how to do it. Pray, therefore, and know that God's voice, you have the equipment and the ability, and there's something glorious when you said, I heard God speak, and I don't have all the pieces, but I heard him speak, and I'm heading that direction, and I'm assuming he's gonna provide as we go. Stand with me, if you will. We'll have others share, but I want to bless you this morning. Just proclaim a blessing over you this morning, and Father, we just thank you today. Lord, we thank you that we are your sheep, and you are training us, Lord, how to dial into that frequency, or how to dial down those other voices, and how to hear and recognize your voice. Today, God, I just ask that you would stir up within each of us that greater hunger to know your voice and to know the deeper things that you desire to reveal to us. Father, we ask today that you would release upon each of us that kingly anointing, Lord, to search out a matter. Can you just lay your hand on your neighbor this morning? Just somebody next to you, just begin. Just say, Father, just bless this person. Just bless my friend. Bless my brother. Bless my sister, God, with faith to believe that you're speaking and faith to believe that we can hear. Just bless them right now, God, to stir us to pursue, Lord, what's necessary to set aside time to become accustomed again, acquainted again, God, with your voice. Well, right now, we just thank you. We pray for our brother. We pray for our sister. And we believe, Lord, that you will release your spirit even now, God, in a greater measure, Lord, that we could hear your voice and that a stranger's voice we will not follow. Lord, thank you for training us and equipping us in the days ahead, Lord, to do this in a greater way. And we bless you and we praise you and we thank you for it today, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Yeah, Joel has some information. Thank you. I appreciate that. You can be seated. We'll give you one more minute here. We are participating in an outreach at JC Park on June 13th. This is with Pastor Apostle Jesse Bates, who was here last week. And Joel and several others went to the information meeting this last week, and he's got some stuff to share with us real quick.
It's...